Hi there, and welcome to Plant CEO. In today's episode, I'd like to welcome John Rushton and Abdul Sharif from VGums, both co-founders, obviously. So great to have you on the show, guys.
Good to be here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Brilliant. So where are you guys based at the minute?
We're based in St. Helens, in between Liverpool and Manchester.
Right. And John, you weren't brought up there, right?
No, since you ask. I was brought up in Accrington, if you've heard of that.
I have. I remember, the only thing I remember from that is a very, I think it was probably the 80s when that came out, but it was an advert about Acton and Stanley. I don't know if you also remember that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So ironically enough, that was a milk advert, you know, telling people to drink milk or they'll end up playing for Accrington Stanley.
Got any lemonade? He wants. Milk! Ugh! Swanny and Rush drinks. Ian Rush? Yeah, and he said if I didn't drink lots of milk, when I grow up, then I'd be good enough to play for Accrington Stanley.
Accrington Stanley? Who are they?
Exactly. Now get off!
Give me some.
Get off.
I can't believe those sort of marketing tactics that they used in those days just to say about dairy, right? And would happen if you stop consuming dairy.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a catastrophe, wouldn't it? I mean, playing for Accrington Stanley. So, yeah, there you go. So I'm from Accrington originally.
And how about you, Abdul?
I grew up in Manchester in Fallowfield. I'm sure you've heard of the famous Fallowfield Loop in Manchester, you know, the cycle route.
Oh, I haven't actually.
So he hasn't heard of it.
Okay.
And I don't think he left his house the whole time because he didn't know about it until I told him about 2 years ago.
But I was the first. I was the first to go on the loop. Remember, you went on the wrong one.
Oh, did you? You got his front tyre on first. I did.
So, Abdul, are you a keen cyclist then? Or are you both keen cyclists?
We're more fair weather cyclists, but we will be cycling this week at some point as well when it's fair weather.
So for a long time, Abdul just wore the Lycra and didn't do any cycling. And then I said, you might as well just do the cycling as well. the Lycra anyway. So eventually he got a bike. Just
very good
men to wear the Lycra.
Yeah, very good. So you're both middle-aged men in Lycra, mammals as they call.
Yeah, I mean, some of us are more middle-aged than others.
Middle-aged sounds scary now.
Yeah, it does actually.
You've brought on my midlife crisis a bit earlier now. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that.
No worries. Anytime. So tell me about the company, guys. How did you think about creating it? You're both pharmacists from your earlier career.
Yeah.
I think it was John's idea, really. He was looking for vitamins that suited his own kids and, you know, ones that were plant-based and tailored to him rather than just, you know, here's some vitamins that might be okay for you. But yeah, it was that was the epiphany, wasn't it? When you could
we were both working in pharmacies and selling all day long. We were selling plastic bottles of vitamins with just tasteless tablets in there, and you know, we just thought this could be done a lot better. You know, for every every sale of a plastic bottle, we could save that by putting in recycling packaging. And even the ones made for vegans or for plant-based lifestyles, they were just sort of suitable for vegans. So, you know, they wouldn't have gelatin in, but the formula of vitamins wasn't tailored to a vegan diet. So it had a bit of everything in it, which, as we know, most vegans have a really healthy diet. They have plenty of vitamin C and some of the B vitamins and plenty of stuff. There's just a couple of key essential vitamins that are lacking or can be lacking, and that's the ones we focused on. So we put a huge amounts of B12 in there, vitamin D, selenium, iodine, just ones that could be quite tricky to get in a plant-based diet. And that's how it started. We just made the product for us because we couldn't find one that was suitable, and soon realized that there's a lot of other people in the same boat. And it's sort of snowballed from there, really. And we've since then added new products into the range.
Yeah. And can we talk a bit about those sort of essential ones that you just spoke about? And, you know, just talk about each one in detail and why our body would need those nutrients and you know, that those supplements.
Mm. I think, well, one of the main ones for vegans is vitamin B12. It's actually produced from a bacteria that's present in soil. So that's why through, you know, animal feed or through vegetables, you can get B12. But nowadays, with certainly with vegetables, they're cleaned to the point where there's none of that B12 left on there. So it can be very hard to get from a plant-based diet. Animals, they're a bit different because they're fed, they're supplemented, you know, through the animal feed with things like B12. So, you know, that's why, you know, non-vegans, they do get B12 through the meat.
Yeah. Anyway. And just to keep on that one, so even meat eaters are also deficient quite heavily on B12. It's not just a vegan thing. Maybe vegans are more deficient, but I think, would you say that's the case? Like,
yeah,
the whole population is pretty much deficient.
Yeah, we have seen that, and that is really down to vitamin B12 being quite difficult to absorb into the body to begin with. You need a very large amount, something like 1,000% of the required daily dose just to get your daily dose. So even if you consume meat, it could be a bit of a struggle. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be lacking the intrinsic factor, it's called, in the small intestine that absorbs it. So doesn't some people, you know, they do need really high amounts, even if they are meat eaters, really.
Got it. I mean, in general, I take a jab every 6 months, actually, from the doctors.
Yeah.
Because when I did a blood test, and I don't know if I could have been deficient before, but I've never eaten meat. So maybe it just was one of those things that, so every 6 months I go, but I did look into the supplements as well at some stage. And by the way, just we can come on to it in a minute, but I'm also deficient in vitamin D. So I take tablets on that as well, supplements, but
I think most of the years vitamin D deficient. We just don't get enough.
Okay.
Certainly in the north, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. okay, so the next one was vitamin D, isn't it, as well, that everyone was deficient in. And there was some stuff around, I think probably more so last year, and I don't know if you have any thoughts around lack of vitamin D with potentially being more susceptible to get the coronavirus. Were you aware of any of that stuff that came out, or was it misinformation, or what was your views on that?
The evidence wasn't there. And for us, if the evidence isn't there, we're not going to promote that at all, because, it would be quite easy for us to say, take vitamin D to protect yourself from COVID. But for us, if it's not there, the evidence, then I don't want to mislead people. So we never mentioned it at all. That.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, and what were the other ones?
The other vitamins?
Yeah, the essential ones. I think it was, was it selenium, iodine, B6, was it?
Yeah, iodine, folic acid, and we said B12 already. So they're the ones that are the main ones that are most likely to be lacking. And then we released an omega-3. And as you know, most people take omega-3 through cod liver oil or something like that. Which I was forced to have that as a kid, and it's absolutely, if anyone's tried it, it's absolutely vile, isn't it? Vile stuff. So anyway, that was the hardest one to produce because of the smell and the taste, and we've had tons and tons of different ones, and they've all been horrific, really. So yeah, this one took, I think, nearly 2 years, a year and a half, I think, wasn't it, to actually get that formula right?
Yeah. So by the way, John, you know, I was also forced to have it when I was a kid. So I've been brought up a vegetarian, and then the doctor said, okay, I have to have it. You know, I wasn't sure what the actual reason was at the time as a kid. So my mum got them, and then she realised afterwards that it came from a fish, and then we stopped having it. So at that time, you know, my mum didn't even know that it was coming from it. So it was like, and you're right, it tastes vile.
I mean, the smell would have given it away, really.
But considering that we've never had fish in the house, do you know what I mean? Okay. Like we, as we were going, so we were just consuming milk and cheese. So we never had eggs or, you know, fish in the house. So it's like not one of those things that we were exposed to as a family.
And then I think that's part of the misconception around vitamins and why vegans or vegetarians are lacking. You know, for example, B12 is you know, the animal doesn't produce B12. It's just it's consumed from the soil. And even more so with the omega, it's the fish doesn't produce omega. It's from the algae that it consumes. So totally. You know, why get the omega from the fish when you can get it directly from the source, which is the algae? And that's what we've managed to do.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Go to the root of where the animals are consuming those things.
Exactly.
So the other big one, which is also sometimes missing for me in, you know, alternative milk, is iodine. And iodine is really important, especially for the development as girls are growing up, for example. And I know that not all of them have it. So, and also how animals get it is from the process of cleaning, like the teats for the cows, right, when they're being milked, and that then ends up in the milk itself. So it's not like a natural thing as well, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So that was one on the original list of that went into our vegan formula. I mean, part of that was the feedback from people that we'd spoke to in the early days that quite a few people were deficient in iodine.
Yeah. And so you saw that this was deficient. And then how did you guys come together as partners for this business?
You mean how did we meet?
Before? Yeah.
The origin story is
the origin story. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was a very intelligent, successful, qualified pharmacist. So, and I worked in hospital in Burnley. And when I turned up there, John was there as a what they call pre-reg pharmacist. So he's not a real pharmacist. He's sort of a student type thing. And, you know, he needed the help. So I took him under my wings. He calls me sensei. I think you call me sensei. You still call me sensei?
Don't so, you? If you're ready, so if you're ready for the real story.
And, you know, okay, no, you everything he knows. And I'll be honest with you, it's not a lot. I taught him. So
there you go. So what really happened was, so I was just about to qualify in the hospital. And then Abdul turned up. And he was that weird older guy with the glasses. And he just sort of stood on the periphery and just looked and stared at people. It was really freaky, actually. So obviously everybody avoided him. And then he used to have his lunch on his own in the canteen. And there's a little table, I remember it at the corner. And he used to eat his little sandwiches on this table. They were triangle sandwiches. Right? And then, one day some kids, older kids, you know, teenagers.
Kids went were up in to hospital.
And they, you know, they were bullying him. They stole his dinner money. And I had to intervene. At that point, I thought, I'll have to intervene.
He's projecting.
So I was like, look, you know, just come on, guys, you know, leave him alone, you know. And then from then on, I just sort of let him hang around with me. And I haven't been able to get rid of him since. So,
I mean, that's what really happened. It sounds like you're projecting, but you guys make up your mind which story sounds more legit. You know, I'm quite confident.
I'm confident.
People will know. Yeah.
There'll be people out there who will know the real story. And they'll confirm it.
Yeah. So then when so you met, and what year was this then?
2008.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then Abdul was only about 40 then.
I was like 25.
He looked 40.
And then what happened after that? So you spent there a number of years, and then you're both plant based, right? And when did your plant based journey also start?
So, that you know, after hospital, I was there for a couple of years. I worked there and John finished his training there. I went on to community pharmacy with my brothers. So we opened up a small chain of pharmacies together. And then so many years later, both me and John kept in touch because we shared similar values, and you know, we he felt like he had to hang around with me after learning everything. He knew that he could learn more.
It was more of an obligation, wasn't it? Choice. It was like, oh, I best hang around with him. But he used to make me feel good because he was so bad at badminton. Every time we played, I always felt good afterwards. But that kind of kept things going.
Yeah.
So that's what Abdul did. And I sort of worked in hospitals for a while, just like up and down the country. And then I went to medical school to train to be a doctor. So I did 3 years of the 5-year medical degree. And then that's when we launched Vegums. So, I mean, technically, I'm still a medical student. But I just keep holding it off every single year. And then, but that was 3 years ago. And there's no looking back now. I mean, it's all about Vegums now.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think you'll pick up and finish off the course?
No.
Okay. So the first product you launched then at Vegums, was that the multivitamin one, or which one was the first one? Yeah. How did you come up with the ideas of the packaging? And what I quite like is, obviously, you know, it's nicely in a cardboard cylinder, but also that the this isn't plastic, it's biodegradable, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
What's that actually made of?
It's cornstarch. So it's
cornstarch, yeah.
So it's home compostable.
Right.
Which makes it much easier to manage for people who have it at home. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why it did take so long to get things going, because we could quite easily just put it in some plastic and send it off, but everything else had to be, we had to rethink the whole process, you know, sourcing that material from its source, then getting a specialist printer to print it in biodegradable ink. And then even the machine that wraps it is set up to plastic packaging. So, you know, it didn't seal right, and there were all sorts of problems. So, but we just kept going until it was right. And that's kind of our brand promise. Part of our brand promise is to never use any plastic or anything that will end up in landfill.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I just think that you could also use this as a plant pot. Has anyone done that? Yeah. And then inside you've got this little nice carry thing, which is quite nice. And then I saw on your website what's quite nice. So if you've already got one of these and you get this tote bag, right, as well, you can opt out of that at the checkout. So if you don't want to have that as part of your package, and then you just get the refills, right?
So when somebody subscribes, they get the tin and the tube and the tote bag, and then if they want, they don't have to have it. And then after that, they just get the bags, which just means that they reuse the tin. The tube people use it for all sorts, use it to keep pens and pencils in. Anything, you know, people use it for all sorts of stuff. We wanted to give people that option, because if they bought it, as a one-off purchase on the website, and they already have the tin and the tube, then we don't want to just keep sending them stuff they've already got. We want to keep that carbon footprint as low as possible. And we actually achieved carbon negativity earlier this year.
Awesome.
Proud of. I mean, it's through things like that. It's through using as minimalist packaging as possible, and then offsetting our carbon footprint with, you know, planting trees.
Yeah, and you're manufacturing these in France, is that right? So you've got a partner in Germany. Okay, so a partner that you're working with now. That's everything is made in Germany, like the actual vitamins and the packaging and everything, or is it all coming from different places?
The packaging is, so that the biodegradable packaging, that's made in the UK.
Yeah.
So we've had to source the packaging for different places, but the vitamin formula and the gummies themselves are made in Germany.
Okay. And in terms of the actual, I guess, sourcing of the right ingredients of the vitamins, how difficult is that to get that sort of, I guess, the right sort of formula, but getting, you know, quality ingredients that you want to include in your products?
So it's very difficult if you want it to be certified vegan. which we obviously we do. You know, the industry will sneak in animal products where you least expect it.
This is where we struggled a lot. So when you see a product that says suitable for vegans, they might have vitamin D in there that's from like a sheep wool.
Yes,
that's not really vegan. You know, to them they might think, well, you know, the sheep isn't harmed, it's just the wool. But in actual fact, that's wrong. So
yeah, is it lanolin? Is that what it's actually?
Yeah, right. And that's one example. The other example is sugar. Can you believe, if you believe it or not, but some sugar is not suitable for a vegan diet because of the way the filtration process is done. They use. Was it char?
Bones of these the bones of cattle to filter it.
And oh, no, I didn't know that.
With refined sugar, yeah.
So when you see products that say suitable for vegan, that's not necessarily means that they are actually suitable for vegans. So you know, we did all that research and it took a lot of work. I think John mentioned the first product took 18 months to launch, and the Omega took 18 months to launch as well, separately.
Amazing, yeah.
But some of the vitamins as well are, so like, you know, B12, there's methanocobalamin and cyanocobalamin, and it's just making sure that we get the best version of each of the ones that we have. So that was quite tricky as well.
What are those two things, by the way, that you just mentioned?
Methanocobalamin and cyanocobalamin. Yeah. So the formula started off with cyanocobalamin because we weren't able to source the methanocobalamin. And then eventually we were able to switch over to the other one, which is, it's got better bioavailability and considered a better version.
Right, okay. And so my kids, I've got two girls, so what we had been giving them are these, you know, the Holland & Barrett gummies that you get in there. And we used to, the missus used to get them when they were on offer, like the buy one, get one free sort of thing. So cost-wise was a factor for her, but also like the girls like eating these and it looked like a teddy, you know, it was like the packaging. Mm-hmm. So I got them to try yours and they love the strawberry flavor one, which one was that one?
That's the multivitamin, the vegan.
The multivitamin, yeah. So they really like those. In comparison to the ones that we've been having. So the question I had is, are you having customers that are switching? You know, how do you attract those sort of customers? Is it to do with them? You have been a lot at the trade show, and I met, you know, Craig, your marketing guy at the Plant-Based Expo this year.
Oh, yeah.
So he gave me these items. What is it that is switching customers and how are you attracting those customers?
I think we get them from both sides. So in terms of the children, we get them to want our product just because our product does taste and look and feel the nicest out of the lot. So they don't smell, they taste really nice. So that they're covered. I've not met any child that doesn't like our vitamins in terms of taste. And then you know, the older generation, the mothers or the parents or even the millennials and you know, the type that are conscious of the environment or the type that are plant-based, we've got them covered as well because you know, everything's biodegradable or reusable, and the product itself is tailored towards them. It's not just a sort of one fit for all. We have tailored it towards them exactly how they need.
So we have three brand pillars for vegans. The first is your health, you know, to make sure that things, you know, the vitamins are tailored to your diet and to you. So that's the most important. And then, you know, animal cruelty, making sure that no animal ingredients are used and no cruelty happens. And the third is the environment. And those three pillars drive every decision we make. And people come to us for different reasons. So we might have some people aren't even vegan at all, but they come to us because it's plastic-free packaging.
Ah, okay, right.
Because they're vegan and this is tailored to them. It's like a Venn diagram. You get people coming for different reasons and sometimes all three. So it kind of fits the whole ethos fits together, the environmentalism, veganism, and, you know, looking after your own body. So that kind of works all together.
Yeah, and then from a marketing point of view, are you... for those sort of three pillars, running separate campaigns to attract those audiences?
Slightly. I mean, we kind of have two target audiences, and one is, you know, families who are bringing up plant-based children and plant-based families, and the other is, you know, the younger adults who are vegan or you know, conscious of the environment. But really, in terms of marketing message, it's kind of the same thing, really. You know, they're all sort of on the same mission, I think, just at different stages of it. So yeah, the marketing message isn't hugely different, really. It's all the same.
We as a family, me and my wife, we only cook vegan foods at home. We're getting the kids to eat more and more vegan food. One of them hasn't quite given up cheese. We're still working on her to try and do that. But yeah, it's definitely something that we want to encourage. So I'm looking all the time for vegan supplements, and for the kids, it really does come down to taste. You know, for me, I don't mind as long as I'm getting the right stuff. But for the kids, it's taste is the key thing, isn't it? And texture, and like you say, Abdul, smell as well.
Yeah, that's why I only mentioned the taste and the texture and the smell. You know, the kids don't think about what's in them. You know, which vitamins have I got covered here?
Yeah,
it's rare to find that. But yeah, I'm saying we've covered them. Even the omega is actually one of my favorites of the four products that we have. It's the one that I have the most of, and I'm not a growing child. Even though John will have you believe otherwise, but you know, it's the one that I have the most, and any other omega product we've tried has made me ill from the smell and taste. So I think we tried, I don't want to name brands, but we did try one recently, and it put me off food for the rest of the day. It was just it was really fishy.
And I guess
taste as well is kind of, it's for adults as well. Do you know what I mean? People forget that actually, given the choice, does an adult want a tablet and have to get some water and swallow it, or do they just want to chew a gummy bear? And there's just something nostalgic and something nice, even as an adult, of having it that way. You don't need to have it in a tablet form.
Yeah. So, did you when you started creating the company, was it always that you wanted to create these as gummies, or did you go through a process and said, okay, well, you've got the tablet form, or we can do the capsule, and then we have to get the capsule that's also vegan, blah, blah, blah. And then you thought, well, there's a gap in the market in creating gummies, vitamin-based.
It was always going to be gummies. We only wanted to eat gummies, so we only wanted to supply whatever we're willing to have. So I actually struggle with tablets myself. It's like, you know, paracetamol, something you have all the time. I can't swallow those bad boys.
It just feels a bit medicinal. We created it for ourselves, like I said, and that's what we wanted, so that's why we did it, and it just so happens that most people also prefer it that way.
So out of all the range now that you've got, so you got your you know, out of all of them, which one is doing the best?
It depends how you mean. I mean, the original,
which one are you selling more?
The original has been around longest, is around for about 18 months to 2 years, I think, before we launch the next one, so it is selling the most.
Yeah.
But you know, the omega and the iron picked up a lot faster to be, you know, in terms of 0 to 50 or whatever you want to call it. So they are gaining. And I think overall for me, I always felt like the omega would be our strongest one, just because it doesn't seem that anyone else can make it as nice, and it's universal. You know, it doesn't matter if you're vegan, vegetarian, or even if you eat meat. You know, a lot of people forget to eat fish. A lot of people struggle to feed fish to their kids. It's not the easiest thing to cook. So I think in the long run, I've got my money behind omega. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think I personally do still prefer the strawberry multivitamin for vegans. I just love it, to be honest. But yeah, I think Abdul's right. The omega 3 is very exciting. You know, we've got a few more in the pipeline that obviously we can't share at the moment, but we're constantly innovating. We're constantly thinking of new products that we and, you know, our customers would want.
Yeah. So Abdul, can you talk a little bit about the importance of consuming omega 3?
Yeah, so the evidence there is it's really for brain development, especially in children. So that's why I'm having it, because I'm very intelligent next to John.
Because
I need to maintain all that brain mass with more media. So I have about 20 of those a day.
I mean, don't be fooled by the size of his head. There's actually nothing in there.
Yeah, so it's really for children growing up. You know, they need it for brain development, and I think that's why most parents do give it to their children. It's almost a given that they're going to get omega. It's unfortunate that a lot of them have to punish their children with those nasty oil stuff, but we're trying to fix that.
Yeah, and are you doing 3, 6, and 9 as well, or thinking of doing that? Omega 3, 6, and 9. Yeah,
yeah. We use DHA because it's the most potent, most sort of biodegradable. Bioavailable version. Which, I think we've seen other ones that a lot of the competitors use ALA, which is you need a lot higher dose to get the same effect. It's sort of converted by the body eventually to DHA. So we think it's best to give the DHA in that form. And it's just more available.
And who would you class as your competitors?
In terms of direct competitors, nobody really. I think obviously, like the biggest supplement company in the UK, at least, is Vitabiotics. Mm-hmm. they're sort of kind of catering for everybody, really, I suppose, aren't they?
Yeah.
At the same time, nobody. No, they're probably the biggest competitor, and there's a few other ones as well. Nobody who's doing what we're doing in terms of mixing the veganism and the environment and the health all together. There's nobody who's got that whole thing. A lot of them are, like Abdul said, suitable for vegans, but it feels a lot more like an afterthought than actually catered to their needs. So that's where our niche is, really.
The Vegan Society have their own range of, I think it's a multivitamin as well. Have you tried theirs?
Yeah, that's Veg One, I think, isn't it?
I think it's chalky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I couldn't have it every day personally, but I think it's. I really, really admire what the Vegan Society are doing. Do you know what I mean? They put a lot of research into what they do. Their formula is very similar to ours. Yeah, I can't really admire enough what they do, to be honest.
Yeah. And what would you say to the people who say, well, I don't want to take any supplements. I'll rather have the right range of foods, making sure it's whole food, plant-based, eating the rainbow, etc.
Yeah, I admire that, to be honest, to be able to sort of dedicate a lot of time to what you eat and how often you eat it and the variety that you can bring into that. It's possible. Of course, it's possible. It's just not for everybody. And, you know, even those people, I would say, look, there's absolutely no harm in supplementing. You know, you can get your range from your diet and then you can have the supplement and any excess is usually washed away in your urine and whatnot. So really, there's absolutely no harm, even if you feel like you are hitting every food group, you're hitting, you know, your nuts and everything else to get your selenium and iodine, and you're getting enough vitamin D, God knows from where, from this, not from this country. So even if you feel like you're hitting everything, I'd always say, look, there's no harm in, especially how tasty vegums are. So
yeah,
you're taking supplements.
Yeah,
but I do. You know, I have come across people that can and do manage to get all the different food groups. It's just for me and for a lot of people I know, that's impossible.
Yeah, and it's also time, right? I guess like that. Do you have you had that time to also consider adding all those into the what you're cooking?
Yeah,
it comes down to that as well.
I think the person that I've met that does have time for us is someone who actually works in a vegan supermarket. So, you know, they work there. So everything's right on hand for them. You know, it's on a daily basis. They can grab everything they want.
Yeah.
So he was just like, oh, you know what? I can get everything I want. And for him, it was like, well, everyone can do this, but that's not entirely true. It can be quite hard, especially if you work full time.
Mm. So it is entirely possible to do that. And they're right to say that. But yeah, I think for busy people, who who aren't able to watch exactly what they eat all the time, it's just nice to have that safety net, that nutrient safety net, just so that you know that you're getting everything you need. And then great, if you can top it up with other things in your diet, perfect. But yeah, it's just there.
Yeah. And in terms of absorption rate of, say, your tablets, or, you know, even if you were talking about the industry who's, you know, using gummy bears as a form of, you know, compared to, say, capsules or chalky tablets, do the gummy bears work better for absorption, or is it really to do with your own personal digestion?
I don't think so. No, I think it's the same. So you break it down in the mouth, don't you? So by the time it comes into the stomach, it's broken down more. That's true. But, you know, it's not absorbed in the stomach anyway. It's absorbed in the small intestine. So by the time the capsules or the tablets get there, in theory, you'll think they'd be in a good enough position to get absorbed. So it's roughly the same. I wouldn't make the claim that we are better absorbed because we're gummies, but we're certainly no worse.
Right, got it. And which stage are you at now in terms of your company? Have you raised money already from investors? Did you raise from like angel investors, and where would you class your company in terms of funding? And is that something that you're looking to do, or are you just happy to be self-funded at the moment?
Yeah, so last February we did our first crowdfunding raise through Cedars.
Right.
And we raised, I think, 320,000.
Yeah,
crowdfunding. That only took about 3 or 4 days, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. We reached our 100% target in the first 24 hours.
Amazing.
We had to stop it after, I think, 3 days because we'd overfunded by another 100%. So we cut to that, and that's that money that we raised in February has allowed us to release the newest version, so the A to Z, sugar-free A to Z multivitamin that you just showed a minute ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. And it's allowed us to prepare our launch into the US, which is going to happen next month. And we've grown the team as well. The team is fantastic at the moment. We've grown such a really good, dedicated team. So we're ready to sort of scale up and make a big difference. Because for us, everybody who comes to us, as opposed to our competitor, is one less plastic bottle in the ocean. You know, it goes towards one less animal being slaughtered. So it's, for us, every customer counts. So yeah, that's where we're at. And we're planning a next fundraise in this February coming. It'll be Cedars again.
And what are you looking to raise in February with them?
It's going to be roughly 400,000.
Yeah. Okay. And at the moment, are you just available currently in the UK, or are you also across Europe?
So we have free shipping within the UK. Outside of the UK, there is a shipping charge, but we do ship worldwide.
Okay. Yeah.
We recently launched a German version of the website. So in Germany, it's free shipping as well. And as I said, next month onwards, we'll be launching in the US. So that means all our products will be fulfilled from a fulfillment center in the US. So again, that'll be free shipping from there. So we are available worldwide.
Yeah, and it's a subscription model, right? The basis. And so you can either subscribe or you can do one-off purchases. And generally, are you only available via the website direct, so, you know, direct consumer brand, etc.?
We were until fairly recently, but we're also available on Amazon, and we've just launched into a couple of stores in the UK. So we launched into Planet Organic,
yeah,
and all of their London stores.
Nice.
That was in September, so we're available to buy there. At the moment, it's just the sugar-free A to Z. But I believe they want to take the full range in the next month. Also, Vegan Kind supermarket, for us, they're huge because obviously their target audience is the same as ours. So they're brilliant. We just sort of, it's not an area we've focused on before too much, is the retail side, but it's an area that for us is growing quite well. But we always prefer to have the subscribers and to send them directly, just because we know we can control the carbon footprint. We can, we have more of a community feel. We don't really call them subscribers. We call them members, because we're all part of the same mission, if you know what I mean. So yeah, we try to we love the subscribers really, and we like to sort of grow that side as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I should introduce you also to Veggie. So Corey, I interviewed Corey from Canada. He's got an online retail shop for vegans as well, and they just IPO'd in Canada. And he ships, obviously has fulfillment centers in the US as well. So yeah, he'll be a good one for you. I know he's looking to expand, not just, you know, grocery items, but get into everything. So might be a good one for you to talk to.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Great. So I think we're covered all the stuff I think that we wanted to talk about. Was there anything that you wanted to say? Final thoughts from your side? I see an interesting thing there at the back there. in terms of that slogan.
Oh, I'm surprised it's taken you an hour to notice.
Well, I noticed it before, but it's like I just didn't want to say it at the beginning.
And you've behaved yourself, I think, more or less, haven't you? So
it's just a shame that John sits directly opposite to that poster, and he doesn't take heed. So any faults you see, anything you see from his side that you think, oh well, you know, he should have had a good mentor. Well, no amount of mentorship will fix this. So I gave him my best shot, and he just doesn't take it on board. What can I do?
Yeah, that's it. So that's what you get.
So for the people who are listening on audio, the sign says, don't be a dick. And fantastic, guys.
Most people should have that.
That was a gift from his wife, actually.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think, you know, some people should just remind themselves of this sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, great to have you on the show. Thank you for joining. I wish you the best of luck next month with your US expansion, which is exciting, and then also for Cedars. And I think, yeah, there was one thing I think that we missed out, which was veganery being quite an important one for you guys. And yeah, John, if you want to actually just close on that one, I think that'll be cool to
Yeah, I mean, for us, a lot more people turn to the vegan diet during veganuary for obvious reasons, and the exposure for that is huge. For us, we just wanted to make sure that people towards the end of veganuary, having not been used to a vegan diet and then trying it for a full month, which is brilliant, if you're not careful of what you're eating exactly, and there's a lot of, you know, vegan junk food options out there, it can sort of take its toll in terms of you could feel tired, you could metabolism could be affected, and you kind of you could hit a bit of a wall. And what we just want to encourage is that people have a baseline of nutrients during veganuary, so that at the end it's not just about having that month as a vegan, it's about continuing it, you know, what happens after veganuary. And if we can help with that, if we can help people stay vegan for longer, then we'll have fulfilled our mission, really.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and hopefully speak to you guys soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.